Okay, so our first speaker today is Joel Lekshin. He's a professor at New York University in the School of Health Policy and Management. York University. He received his MD from the University of Toronto in 1977 and for the past 24 years has been an emergency physician at the University Health Network. Joel has been a consultant on pharmaceutical issues for the province of Ontario, the Canadian federal government, the WHO, the government of New Zealand, and the Australian National Prescribing Service. He is the author or co-author of over 115 peer-reviewed articles on various aspects of pharmaceutical policy. So please help me welcome Joel.
So thanks very much for the opportunity to be here and present this. So what I'm going to be talking about is ongoing negotiations between Canada and the European Union on a comprehensive trade agreement and how those negotiations may impact on Canadian intellectual property laws and what the implications of that is specifically for pharmaceuticals. No relationships to disclose except with my wife who's sitting there. Okay, so I'm going to look at quickly some background about the Canadian pharmaceutical market and Canadian intellectual property rights, go over what the EU is looking for in these trade negotiations, at least some of the points, not all of them, and then the potential impact should these negotiations be successful on a variety of areas. By the way, the negotiations are still ongoing. They're in their ninth round now, and I think they're taking place in Ottawa, or they took place within the past couple of weeks. Whether or not that is the final round is unknown. Okay, so as I said, we're currently negotiating a comprehensive trade agreement with the European Union. And one of the relevant piece from the Europeans' perspective is that Europe is home to a number of very large multinational drug companies, including GlaxoSmithKline, AstraZeneca, Bayer, and a number of others. And for some of the European countries, the pharmaceutical exports are a very major part of their economy. So, for instance, in the UK, pharmaceuticals are second to arms exports in terms of contribution to the economy from the export point of view. And from that perspective, it makes sense for the European Union to push for enhanced intellectual property rights in Canada in order to enhance the value of the products that European companies are making and exporting into Canada. This is just an illustration of how much money is being spent in Canada on pharmaceuticals. So we're at, the estimate is a little over $5 billion for over-the-counter medications and $26 billion for prescribed drugs. And if you put it on a per capita basis, I think Canada is second in the OECD to the United States. This, as is the case in this country, expenditures on pharmaceuticals are going up rather dramatically, and until the past couple of years, were going up much faster than even overall healthcare expenditures, and certainly continue to go up much faster than the consumer price index. So, the other thing to keep in mind when you talk about negotiations over trade agreements is that these are much different than talking about domestic law making. Domestic law making is usually interest groups arguing back and forth over a specific issue, whereas trade agreements are negotiated over a broad range of issues. And they're negotiated by trade officials. Trade officials typically are lawyers, and lawyers don't know much about health. And when you're doing a large number of issues in a trade agreement, you're willing to trade off things. So you may, the trade officials, especially if they don't understand what's going on with health, may be willing to trade off IP rights without really understanding what that means in terms of pharmaceutical expenditures in return for getting something that Canada wants from the European Union. So one of the areas that's under negotiation is what's called data protection. Data, in order to get a drug on the market, you have the brand name company, the originator company, needs to generate data that shows that, one, the drug is efficacious, in other words, it works in the trial population, and two, that it's safe relative to for the condition that it's going to be used for, and finally, that it's made under good manufacturing conditions. And once a drug is known to be efficacious and safe, it's really unethical to ask the generic companies to generate the same data, because then you would be exposing patients, or patients would be getting placebo when there actually is a treatment that that works. So when Health Canada receives a submission from a generic company, Health Canada is the branch of the government that approves new drugs. It relies on the data that's been generated by the brand name company. It doesn't ask the generic companies to redo the clinical trials. And up until 2006, Health Canada gave 5 years of protection for data. That got changed in 2006, so that it's now 8 years. And you brand name companies can get an additional 6 months of data protection if they've done research on how well the drug is used, or how whether or not the drug is useful in children. But it really doesn't matter whether or not the drug would ever be used in children. It's just, have you done research in children? So you could do research in children for at the extreme for something that's a drug that used to treat Alzheimer's disease and still get the extra 6 months. And right now, the current rules in Canada only apply to what are called innovative drugs. In other words, drugs that haven't been on, that have not been marketed in Canada in any form before. For the patent legislation, which is the one of the other areas that's under negotiation, Canada is a member, like the United States and 150-odd other countries, of the World Trade Organization, which means that Canada has signed on to the TRIPS Agreement, Trade-Related Aspects of Intellectual Property Rights, and that agreement stipulates that patents for any product, including drugs, are valid for 20 years from the date that you apply for the patent. Although the United States has patent term restoration, which is something that gives companies extra patent time for times that the drug spends in the drug approval process, Canada doesn't have any form of patent term restoration. And the result is that, on average, when a drug hits the Canadian market, it's got about 10 years of patent exclusivity left before generics can appear. However, Canada, along with the U.S., are the only two countries that have what are called, well, in Canada, they're called notice of compliance regulations, and that essentially means that when the drug companies when a generic company wants to market a product, it files a notice of that. The brand name companies are then allowed to object to the application by the generic company to put on a generic version of their drug. And once that objection is registered, it then delays everything for up to 24 months. the European Union has no form of notice of compliance regulations. So this diagram, or this chart here, is really just what does TRIPS require, what does the EU have currently, what will the EU have in terms of IP protection after the CETA agreement, should it be successful, and that there will be no change in what's going on in the European Union, what does Canada have now, and the things that will change in Canada in favor of the European company drug companies are that they want patent term extension, and they want longer data exclusivity. And this is just a little bit more information about that. So they want us to go from 6 years. 6 years is the length of time that generic companies are prohibited from using the data of the brand name companies. 8 years is the length of time, the total length of time for which a generic company cannot put on a new drug using the original data, and then half a year is for the testing in children. They want us to go from that to 8 years when the generic company cannot have access to the data, another 2 years when it still can't put the drug on, plus 1 year for not just for new indications, and those new indications might be rather minor kinds of things, so changes in drug formulations as opposed to anything else. So drug formulation is going from pill to liquid kind of thing. And they want us to put in patent term restoration of up to 5 years. They also, one other thing that they want is they want the ability for customs officials at the Canadian border to impound imports on the suspicion that they violate a patent. So this could mean, and this has been happening in Europe, if anybody's been following this, so drugs in transit through Europe, going from India to, I believe it was Argentina or Brazil, were seized by the Dutch authorities on the grounds that they thought that the drugs may violate a patent. So what's the impact of this going to be? First on drug expenditures. So right now, as I said, there's $26 billion in prescription drug sales in Canada. Patent medicines take up about billions. Patent medicines take up $13 billion. The people at the bottom, who I stole this slide from, did some calculations using 15 drugs that were genericized in 2010, looked at what their patent life was, and calculated that for these 15 drugs, the patent life would be extended, should the Europeans get their way, by about 3.5 years, and that translates into an additional $2.8 billion in drug expenditures in Canada. In terms of affordability, the Canadian market for drugs, is split between public plans, which are typically cover people on social assistance, and those over 65, people who get their drug coverage through private insurance, and then people who pay out of pocket. And the people who pay out of pocket are typically those who are classified as the working poor, low wages, non-unionized, but they don't qualify for welfare and they're under 65. This is the group that's most vulnerable to increases in prices, and this is the group that would be most affected by this $2.8 billion in extra spending that would be required. One of the arguments in favor of longer patent life is typically that you'll get more R&D out of it, and this just shows that there was some increase in R&D in Canada after a previous set of patent law changes, but since the late 90s, the level of R&D as a percentage of total revenue in Canada has been declining, and it's been declining, although there has been changes made favorable to the brand name companies. So in my view, the idea that you're going to get any more R&D as a result of the changes that the Europeans want is a bit of a fantasy. There's also the chance that if these negotiations are successful, that it will affect the economics in the generic industry. Now, I'm not particularly concerned about the generic drug companies, except insofar as they make drugs that are cheaper than the brand name companies. And there's some thinking that the generic companies may lose if they're delayed in getting their products onto the market, that they'll suffer economically, and that may affect the amount of or the availability of generics in Canada. So, bottom line is that we have this ongoing set of trade negotiations between the European Union and Canada. The Europeans want more IP protection for pharmaceuticals, and this has four potential impacts. So higher overall drug expenditures, less affordability for those without insurance, no change in the level of R&D that's being conducted by the brand name companies, and poor economics for the generic companies. And should anybody be interested enough to want to read up more about this, these are some papers that have been produced in this debate. The first one and the third one were paid for by the generic drug companies. The middle one was paid for by the brand name drug companies.
Thank you.